Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up.
You're listening to Believe You Me with Michael the Count Bisbing.
You know my name yet?
And Anthony Lionheart Smith.
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Ho, ho, ho. There you go. Well, you better be calling me Big Daddy throughout the entirety of the show.
Perfect.
Yeah. So we've got Michael Chiesa joining us today, ladies and gentlemen, on the award-winning, the world-leading, the number one podcast on the goddamn planet. With no Anthony Smith, of course, he's fighting Saturday night. So I would say we pulled out the big dogs. We went all the way up to Spokane, Washington, joining us from his what looks to be a very, very beautiful log cabin-inspired home, Michael Chiesa.
It's good to be here, Mike. Big Mike, Big Poppy. What's up?
Big Poppy. There we go. Are you in the woods?
I live just outside of town. So, yeah, you know, I'm definitely surrounded by trees. I'm on 5 acres. I do live in a log house. I love it out here. It's especially this time of year when it's Christmas and the tree's up and the snow is on the ground. It's great.
No, that's beautiful, man. 5 acres. That must be amazing.
It's nice. It's nice having the space. Definitely.
What do you do with 5 acres?
You know, we have like a pool.
Intensively walk around it, you know what I mean? Like, as if you're writing poetry.
Yeah, you know, you can go for nice little long walks. You know, we have a lot of bonfires. You know, it's nice not having a fence for your dogs. So our dogs can just kind of roam freely. We had two dogs. We have one now. But yeah, it's just nice having space, man. I grew up in the country. So it's for me, I'm just not fit to be in a neighborhood, in a cul-de-sac, in an apartment. I'm just meant to be somewhere with some space.
You're just out there living life. My God, not all of us can be bloody millionaires living on 5 goddamn bloody acres. It must be nice. And then there's this narrative that UFC fighters don't get paid. You're living like a rock star. You're living the dream.
I'm one of the few that don't complain, but I don't make as much as the Hall of Famer, the former middleweight champion, Michael Bisping, Ultimate Fighter champion. I mean, come on. The list goes on and on.
It does go on and on. Tales from the Octagon 2 is returning next week, by the way. Liz, guys, if you're in London December 14th or Manchester on the 16th, you don't want to miss it. Myself, Tom Aspinall and Paul Krieg joining me on stage, myticket.co.uk. But that's it. That's enough of the plugs. That's enough of the intros. And now we're going to get going. Saw you on Saturday, Mike.
Yep.
UFC Austin. What an incredible event that was. You were working the pre and post fight show for ESPN. You were rocking the most Texas shirt I have ever seen. Is it on your Instagram? Because Brian can look it up if it is.
I think there's a picture of me and Joe Burrow in the shirt. And the funny thing is, Mike, I got that shirt at the gift shop right by the elevators. I didn't bring that with me. I just was like walking by and I was like, I sent a picture to Zach. And for people that don't know, Zach Candido's the guy that's in charge of the broadcasting part of the UFC.
He's a vice president these days, I believe.
Vice president, yeah. I sent him a picture of it. I was like, what would you think if I wore this? And he's like, that would be a flex. And I'm like, so is that a yes? Is that a no? And he's like, just go for it. So
for anyone,
gift shop, and it was a hit.
Because Brian's probably feverishly searching your Instagram right now. it's the most Texas shirt. It had one of those buckles instead of a tie. Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
the little laces dangling down. Looking good. Who's that you're with?
That's Joe Burrow, quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals. And I usually don't chase people down like that, but I have a good friend, Kennedy Nimri, that's like a diehard fan. And so I ran up to him and took like a little video of like, hey, Kennedy, look who I'm with. And she was absolutely razzed, you know, razzed.
We're going to get into that lately because it just came out, the most popular words amongst Gen Zers. There's a new word in the dictionary that apparently is taking the world by storm. And it sounds like razzed.
Really?
It's not. But never mind that. Yeah. Where do we start?
Let's start with UFC Austin. Let's start with the main event.
Where do we start with that event, though? Because the prelims, they were some of the best. I will say, certainly in recent memory, maybe it's a recency bias, the best prelims I can remember. I mean, just from start to finish. I mean, the first fight of the night, Veronica Hardy, great performance. But then we got those two slams. back to back.
Yeah.
Jakar Close, I think he was in an armbar, picks him up, slams him on the side of the head, puts him to sleep. That's incredible. Then we get another one straight afterwards. Zach Reese making his debut. Who did he fight?
Cody Brundage.
Cody Brundage in the triangle.
Mm-hmm.
A la Quinton Rampage Jackson, back to back. I lost my goddamn mind.
I loved it, Mike, because I think it was you that said it in the broadcast. You kind of put it out there in the universe where there was one fight before the Jakar close slam where someone tried to slam their way out of guard, and you brought it up. Like, you put it in the universe. Like, you brought up the Rampage Ricardo Arona slam, and then it was like two fights later, get your car with the armbar slam over Selecki. And look at this. I mean, he just picks him up, and there's a little method to it. Look how he slams him on the side of his head. Ooh, I mean, that was just nasty. Super nasty. No, and then for Cody, he needed that. Cody's coming off his last fight where he got illegally, he got fouled, and you know, he took his 5 minutes and opted not to fight, got a lot of boos. A lot of people question if he had that fight in him or not. And for him to go out and get a slam KO, there is no questions to be answered. He needed that. So those to have him back to back, man, I don't think we'll ever get that again in the octagon.
No, that's right. I mean, you're not. And I lost my mind here. You might be able to see me. I'm like, oh no, here we go again. Boom, side of the head again. You know, people were putting out the theory. They were like, because the octagon, as you know, and for anyone that hasn't fought in the UFC, which is most people, it's quite padded, isn't it? When you walk on it, it is definitely, there's a lot of cushioning there. But people were like, oh, maybe there's not as much padding in Austin. I'm like, shut up. Don't be silly. They just generated a lot of force. They were stunning knockouts.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think we'll ever get that again. To get one slam KO like that a year is a rarity in itself. The last one I can remember, I think, was like Jordan Leavitt when he fought Matt Wyman. That's the last one that comes to my mind. But to get two of them back to back, I mean, it really epitomizes that thing when we say expect the unexpected. When that octagon door closes, you don't know what is going to happen. Like it's complete chaos in there, and it's very fitting for it to be for the Jimmy V Week fight event. Like I feel like every time we do this event for Jimmy V Week, it always turns out to be the craziest fights.
Mm. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I just want to explain that this troll-like creature that has appeared on stage, on screen, is Michael Harrington. He's one of the producers on the podcast. He does a fantastic job. Harrington, what have you to add to this situation? And feel free to jump in and out at your leisure, as you say in America.
I appreciate that, Mike. Yeah, just to follow up with that, there were 12 total slam KOs in the history of the UFC before this event. Never more than one per year. And this in back-to-back fights is pretty damn crazy.
Yeah, no, it was, man. It really, really was. And the crowd did lose their mind. We're building up. We're going to step forward a few spaces, though. We're going to go right to the co-main event. So, Jalen Turner last week, obviously, he took the fight on very short notice. There's your dog in the background. What's his name?
Oh, that's Blue. She's just checking you out.
Oh, what's up, Blue? Oh, bless.
Yeah.
Beautiful dog. Jalen Turner didn't sound too keen on the fight. You know, leading up to it, he didn't seem too motivated. Obviously, he had to make weight. And that's never easy for him with a full camp. But he did make weight. Credit to him. Bobby Green and Jalen, they've got personal history. They kind of know each other. They're from the Dino, which is short for San Bernardino. So they weren't overly thrilled, I think, on fighting one another, certainly like this. But regardless, we knew the fight was going to be good. Bobby Green went out there, fought the way that he always fights, hands low, slick striker, all the rest of it. But Jalen Turner, I've said this for quite some time, he is something special. The way that he strikes, the speed that he has, and the power. And 6'3" at lightweight. And if you look at the fight with Mataj Gamrot, very good at anti-wrestling as well. Lost the fight, but still, you know what I mean? It was a close split decision. But the way he knocked him out, the beautiful right hand kind of connects with the temple. Bobby Green goes down. Here we go. Let's take a look at it. Slips him, catches him with the right, wobbles him, follow-ups again. And now look at this. Oh. It's over.
Makes me sick.
The fight, it's done. What is the referee waiting for?
Especially those last two. Those last two were the worst.
And as I said, Jalen's powerful, man. So he's sitting up, he's postured up all the way. He's raining down blows as hard as he can, right? I think there was probably 9 or 10 unnecessary punches there. Here's the question. In your opinion, is that the worst stoppage you've ever seen?
Man, there's a few. There's the fight that Valentina Shevchenko had against, I think, Priscilla, I forget her last name, but I think it was Cachoeira. In Brazil. And that was the one where I think Priscilla took away like in the hundreds, like a couple hundred shots. And Mario Yamasaki came out and said like, oh, it's giving her the opportunity to be a warrior. It's like, I don't think that's the case. And for people that when you watch that Jalen Turner finish.
By the way, Dana talked so much shit about that.
Oh, yeah. Like, good on Kerry Padley for admitting fault, because I heard that he actually was like, did not even try to defend the stoppage. It was like, dude, I messed up. And in that profession, being a referee, you don't get that very often where these guys will accept fault. So bad stoppage, but good on him for acknowledging it. But what makes the shots worse is when you're the fighter on bottom and you're getting punched, the second you rest your head on the canvas and you get hit, it's like getting hit twice. You know, it's when you don't have any space for your head to kind of rebound from these shots and you stick your head on the canvas, it's like getting hit two for one. So that's why I say those last two or three punches in that sequence were like, it was essentially 4-6, you know, it was his head was on the canvas. So that's where it got really scary. But for Jalen, we got to give him his credit. I mean, the thing I love about him is everything he throws is meaningful. He doesn't really throw shots that don't have a purpose. Like you said, he is a special talent. Like I've heard the stories in the gym where guys can't even touch him. Like Sean Strickland said he's one of his least favorite people to spar because he can't hit him. He's hard to hit. He's slick. So with his frame.
And it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing as well. Yeah. I'm glad Sean said that. Yeah. And I've used him for big fights. Mm-hmm. The reason it's embarrassing is because he fights a bloody lightweight. Do you know what I mean? And this guy is 6'3".
He's taller than both of us.
He's taller than both of us by far. How tall are you, Mike?
I'm like 6'1", like a little over 6'1".
When I got arrested at the police station, they measured me. They had me at 6'2", but I had my shoes on. And Rebecca's over, my wife, she's always like, you're not 6'2". Let it go. Anyway, so there he is. He's taller than both of us, and he's bloody brilliant at what we do. And you're not trying to knock people out in sparring, but it's bloody embarrassing. But last week, people were calling him a weight bully. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that? Because if he can make the weight and still perform, he's not a weight bully because he's making the sacrifices. Because had that have gone in the later rounds, he would have had an issue. He did against Dan Hooker. He definitely slowed down in that fight.
Yeah, and I think that for people, you don't really hear someone use the term weight bully for someone that's a striker. For me, it's usually like, oh, he's a weight bully. That's why Khabib Nurmagomedov was so good. I've heard people say that about Khabib, and I'm like, that couldn't be any further from the truth. And the thing that people don't know, most people that use the term weight bully, they don't realize what it's like to make that weight. For someone to come down, you know, high as 180. I think Jalen posted a picture where he was 180 pounds on November 22nd. So he had to make that descent to 156. You don't realize how you feel afterwards. It's not like you put the weight back on and you feel 100%. You're a fraction of yourself. Like, that's not the Jalen Turner that you get inside the gym. That's the Jalen Turner you get that's compromised from a weight cut. And I guarantee you those are two completely different fighters. And for him to still perform after that weight cut, that's impressive. But I just don't like the term weight bully. You can't use it for a guy as skilled as Jalen Turner. That's the skills are what produce the results for him. I mean, he's a tremendous striker.
Do you know, I do feel for Bobby Green because, listen, people are going to say that I'm talking about myself and all the rest of it. But Saturday night when I was watching Bobby Green, before Bobby Green had his fight, before he came out, I started thinking, and I was seeing a lot of parallels with his career and my career. Mm-hmm. You know, Bobby's been around for a long time, right? He's fought a lot of great fighters. Granted, I was fighting, without sounding like a prick, maybe some more high-profile fights, whatever. But still, you know, I was winning a few, then I'd lose one. I'd win a few, I'd lose one. But I never got the title fight and all the rest of it. But then at 37, I did. And I thought, look at Bobby. He's putting it all together now. He's 37 years old. He just knocked out Grant Dawson. He submitted Tony Ferguson. If he goes out there and he beats Jalen Turner, he might be on the cusp of a title fight. And what a story this would be. Well, of course, that didn't happen because mixed martial arts is a bitch.
It's a son of a gun, isn't it? I said it in the pre-show. I said Bobby Green, and I don't like comparing fighters to other fighters, but it's really hard not to in this instance where I feel like if Bobby Green would have beat Jalen Turner, I feel like he was on that trajectory from that we saw with Jorge Masvidal, where Masvidal didn't have the best record, but people loved how real he was, loved the way he fought.
Better comparison.
And it is. And, but if you
I'm
think
just
about
too
it,
good looking.
If you can think about it, though, he only won two fights before he found himself in the BMF fight with Nate Diaz. So you think about Bobby Green, he goes out there and beats Jalen Turner. Look, rankings matter, but when somebody can put together that Jorge Masvidal-esque run at the veteran stage of their career, same thing you did. I think it's something you have to capitalize on because it only lasts so long. It's not like a 27-year-old person with 8 to 10 years left. This is someone that's like at the tail end. You got to squeeze it with every last drop, you know? So it would have been cool to see what would have happened if Bobby won, but I'm still happy for Jalen. It's one of those things where both guys are tremendous fighters. May the best man win. It was fun while it lasted, for sure.
Yeah, I'm over the moon for Jalen. I've known him for quite some time now. And as I said, we used to train. So yeah, over the moon for him. And fair play to Bobby Green. He got up. He had a smile on his face. He went and embraced Jalen Turner. So no bad blood there. And Jalen's just doing what he's got to do. That's the job. Until the referee pulls you off, you keep firing punches. Simple as that. Now, talking of firing punches, in the main event, Ormen Sarukian, I've been impressed with this guy for a long time. I've always known he was special. That fight he had with Mataj Gamrot, I always talk about it. I do, because I was so blown away at the speed, the pace, and the technicality of all of it. He's a slick striker, but I didn't think he had the power of Beneil Dariush. I thought Beneil, that was the big, you know, the big advantage that Beneil had. I really did feel like that. Fight didn't last long. It was about a minute thereabouts, maybe a bit more, maybe a bit less. But he jumps in, he lands the knee, which wasn't the hardest knee. Then he lands the punch, and he didn't have the feet on the ground. As we know, you generate the power from the ground, like you're swinging a golf club. I know you and DC are always talking about golf, and it drives me up the goddamn wall. Shut up about golf. This is this big thing right now. Everyone thinks golf is cool, right?
Hey, have you tried it? Have you tried it?
Bro, I've got one eye. I've got no depth perception. I couldn't play golf with two eyes.
I think you could. If you can win a UFC middleweight title, I don't see you not being able to figure out how to go. At least hit the ball.
Tyron Woodley's another one.
I just hit it, you know?
They're walking around. They've got the polo shirts on. They're looking like nerds, right? And they're putting it all over Instagram. Like, dude, you look like a dick. You look like a dick. Stop it. And stop going on about it. You midlife crisis bastard, yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
Anyway, how did I get onto that? What was I talking about?
The roast of Michael Chiesa going on right now.
No. So I'm joking, of course.
Oh, I know. I don't care.
I love a good round of golf. I love nine holes. I prefer one. So you generate the power from the feet, right? Yeah. It starts with the feet, comes up the leg, you twist your hip, and the last thing that comes out is the arm. That's why people call them arm punches. If it's just the arm, there's not much power there. But he lands that punch without the feet established. And granted, okay, there's a bit of momentum from the body weight because he's going forward, you know. So that was that added to it. But even with that considered, that was a very surprising because of the opponent, but the fashion in which he knocked him out. I mean, very, very shocking.
Oh, that's so nice. It reminded me of Anthony Pettis almost. Pettis used to do that thing where he'd throw the right head kick, and as he's retracting on one foot, he would throw the right straight. For Armand, this was a must win. And I agree with you. I think skill for skill, even in the wrestling department, it's close. Like maybe Armand has Beneil edged a little bit in the wrestling, but I thought skill wise, when it comes to striking and it comes to grappling, I thought Beneil was a more skilled fighter. But youth can play a big role in these fights. But for Armand, I think that there was a lot of pressure on him to perform. Because if you look at his short notice UFC debut against Islam, we're all like, holy cow, this kid's got some promise. Has a great fight with Mataj Gamrot. And then you go to the Joaquin Silva fight where he's like a -1150 favorite. When somebody is that favorite in a fight, you are expected to get it over with in a couple minutes. And not only did Joaquin Silva hang in there for almost three rounds, but he wobbled him at one point. So I feel like Armand not only had to win, but he had to go out there and finish Beneil to erase that, because there's a standard set by these matchmakers. Sean Shelby, after that Joaquin Silva fight, I was sitting next to him, and I can tell you he was not that thrilled because he didn't want to put an unranked guy in against Armand Sarukian. So if you're going to do that, the guy's got to go out there and finish. And he was like, I can't believe this took three rounds. So for Armand, it was good on him to reintroduce himself to the powers that be, that, hey, I'm a guy that belongs in the top five. You should put me in some big fights. And I think with the storyline with Islam, he can't be any more than a fight away from a title fight.
Brian, do me a favor. I was trying to type, but for some reason, my keyboard is not working. My keyboard is not connected. It's driving me nuts, but it doesn't matter because I can speak to the producer. I was trying to just put a little thing in the private chat down here. Just play that finish again, Brian, because I want to see that, because that was really something special, because I forgot about the first punches that he threw to set up the knee. Can anybody hear me? There we go. Have a look. One, two, oh. I mean, what? So jab, right hook, right knee, right hand. Look at it again.
Doubles up, hook. I like that. You gotta use a flurry of punches if you're gonna pull someone's hands up to throw the knee. You can't just see the shot and go to the knee. You gotta touch them up to bring them up. And that was really nice to see.
That was one of the most stylish finishes we've seen in quite some time. It really was. When I see it again there, because I just thought of the knee and the punch, because I lost my line and I was out of my feet. And it's against Beneil Dariush. Mm-hmm. I mean, unbelievable. Let's have a look.
The foot's coming down.
Connected a little bit. Boom.
It's like, a Superman punch with your feet on the ground. Yeah. Like pulling the knee back has to generate some kind of power.
The placement was perfect on the chin as well. So he's calling out every man and the dog. He wants to fight Islam Makhachev. Of course, he took on Makhachev and he did it on short notice. Wants to fight him again. Did well. Went to a decision after all.
Yeah.
When Dana was asked about it at the post-fight press conference, here's what he had to say regarding him fighting Islam Makhachev. Sarukian. He said, it does throw a wrench into things. I mean, you can definitely look at how he looked tonight. And I don't know. We'll see what happens. The fight will be big. Yeah, it's a great stylistic matchup. That's a great fight. It is a great fight. The question is, in your opinion, Charles Oliveira's probably next. Then we got Justin Gaethje. Did Armand Sarukian just leapfrog those guys?
I am going to say no. And here's why. Charles Oliveira, look, that was a bad cut. But we've seen people step in there with the stakes that high. You can't expect them to. Are you going to ice Justin Gaethje, who just won the BMF title, which
just iced Dustin Poirier?
Very true. But they said the BMF title represents a one-way ticket to a title fight after Oliveira and Islam fight. Well, we saw what happened. Charles had to withdraw. Volkanovski steps in. I think Oliveira's got to go to the back of the line. And when I say back of the line, I think he's got to fight Armand Sarukian. That's what you do. You do Gaethje versus Islam next, and then you do Oliveira and Armand on the same card. It makes sense. That's the fight. Because Charles, you think about this. Charles lost to Islam, beats Beneil, and then he gets another title fight. It's like, well, maybe you need one more win. Is that the way to
I'm hearing it? Myself back, Brian, just sometimes when I make those stupid noises, but that's brilliant.
Yeah.
I do like that.
Yeah, what makes sense. Gaethje deserves it. He earned the BMF belt. That represents a ticket to a title fight.
But I love it. I love it. It's great. I'm not against it. But Oliveira, you're eliminating either Oliveira or Sarukian.
Yeah.
But you know what?
I'm here
this
for
is
it.
The fight game. Tough shit.
Think about this.
That's Armand the way it goes.
Armand has time. He's 27. So if Oliveira beats him, dude, he's got plenty of time left to get himself into a title fight. So it's really a win-win. Oliveira wins, you get that fight that everybody wants to see. Rematch with Gaethje or rematch
like
with
Islam.
Or Armand.
I tell you what.
That's
ESPN, Michael. They knew what they were doing when they hired you. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
All right, today's episode is sponsored by Manscaped. You know the one, the men's leader in below-the-waist grooming. But that's not all they do. But right now, if you go to manscaped.com and you use the code BISPING20, you will get 20% off and free shipping. Now, we're going to talk about the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Of course, in that, you're going to get the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer. It is the newest iteration for below the waist, for trimming the pubic hair, but not cutting yourself, okay? It's waterproof. It has a light. It lasts forever. It's got a titanium-coated T-blade, and it won't cut you. It is 100% safe. Also, if you're getting older, the nose hairs, the ear hairs, they're a problem. We'll give them a good whack with the Weed Whacker. You also get the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, the Crop Reviver Toner, the Performance Boxer Briefs, and a travel bag to hold them all in. Also, they've got the Shear 2.0 kit, which has the stainless steel nail cutters. It's got tweezers and grooming scissors so you can take care of your feet and you don't have to look like Harrington by the pool. Listen, it's Christmas. It's coming. The goose is getting fat. So take care of your balls and do it with Manscaped. Right now, go to manscaped.com. Use the code BISPING20. You will receive 20% off and free shipping. One more time, manscaped.com. BISPING20, 20% off and free shipping. All right, so we like to sprinkle in a little bit of comedy and light humor along the way. And generally, it's just by looking at Harrington. Let's have a look at him today.
Hey,
you look like you're still losing weight, Harrington.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, dude, I'm gonna be so jacked by June. I just think it would be so funny to have a six pack.
I'm stressed out to the max with this show that I'm doing next week. Do you know
six
what I mean?
Six-pack's overrated, though, because if you have a six-pack, that means you're not drinking dark beer or, you know, having the occasional...
It's the beer.
It is always the beer. The beer is like the... It's the kryptonite to a six-pack.
I hit 214 pounds today. I am the lightest I've been in a long time. Let me tell you. The six-pack's coming back.
What's the biggest you've been?
238, 239.
Add 5 pounds, so you've been about 245.
Exactly.
Every fighter lies about their weight. Every fighter, if you're like, hey, what would you wake up at? I'd be like, oh, I woke up at 195. No, that's 200. You just round up.
Yeah, no, it is. But Rebecca's lost weight as well, because she was, listen, let's just be honest, my wife's lost weight. We did a live on YouTube, and the people, they're brutal. This is a woman.
Yeah.
You think of people's mental health. They're like, oh, look at that. Looks like Rebecca's bulking up for heavyweight and stuff like that. No. Do you know what I mean?
Jeez.
I was like, secretly, I'm like, good. Talk more shit. She needs to lose a few pounds. You know what I mean? And she's lost a few. She's cut out all the alcohol. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to lose a bit of weight, get rid of the alcohol. I still have a little bit, though, because you got to relax. Anyway, Harrington, word of the years. This is a thing, apparently.
I'm excited to hear this word.
So the Oxford University Press, which publishes the Oxford English Dictionary, came out with their word of the year. It is a Gen Z term. Michael, I know you know it. Sorry, Bisping, I know you know it. But Mr. Chiesa, do you want to take a shot in the dark? I'll give you one hint. It's very popular with Gen Z.
Okay. I got a hint at the beginning of the show because I said Raz.
But if you didn't know that, what would you come out with? Cap.
I have no idea because we've had, you know, no cap and we've had like, I don't know, mid and Zaza and all these weird
mid.
Words. I don't know.
That's a good one. What the fuck is Zaza?
I think it's a weed reference.
It's
isn't it bad weed or something like that?
I thought
Brian, come on, let's have a four shot.
I thought it was a Zima. I was like, oh, Zima's coming back.
Nice. Oh, Zima's making a return.
What the hell is Zima?
What? You've never had a Zima? You haven't
what
lived.
What is a Zima?
You know I've Zima got Alt Zima right in it. Now. You haven't lived yet, Mike. For Christmas, I'm going to find a Zima. I'm probably going to have to go on eBay and buy like...
I'm suffering.
I don't know.
Like an age one from 98 Zima. Or something.
You'll never, you won't find a drinkable Zima.
Dude, I had Zima sponsor me in 2018. I made a comment in an interview and they saw it. Some lady's like, oh, I'm the rep for Zima. We're making a comeback. And they sent me like an old school pager and they're like, turn the pager on and we'll send you a page when the Zima drops in the gas station. So I had this thing plugged in a charger for like a month and all of a sudden I just hear this noise. I'm like, what the fuck is that noise right now? And my wife's like, that's your pager. It's going off. I was like, oh no. And I pick it up. It's like Zima drop. I was like, yes, dude.
That looks like a Smirnoff Ice. So that's an alcoholic drink.
Yeah. And we used to drop Jolly Ranchers in them. If you were.
Nah.
You
it essentially is a Smirnoff Ice.
That sounds like the gayest drink ever. So it's already kind of gay. And now you're dropping Jolly Ranchers in it. Jesus
dude,
Christ.
This is when I was like drinking when I was like 12, dude. So give me some credit.
I used to like a good Smirnoff Ice back in the day.
Have you ever been iced, Mike?
Nope. What?
Have you ever been iced?
We're trying to find out what the word of the year is, brother.
Yeah, I'm getting sidetracked.
You're going on a tangent about the Zimas. You're going off the chain. You're going on about the bloody plugging in with the Jolly Ranchers. Harrington.
Hit me with the word of the year. Hit me with the word of the year.
So it's rizz, as in getting rizzed up.
What's rizzed up? That sounds...
Brian, come back.
That sounds like it's violating.
I'm trying to think of what the, like, old synonyms for rizz were. But, like,
fact that it rhymes with jizz, it just throws me off, honestly.
Hamilton. So, first of all, what does it mean?
So it means to, you know, have like the gift of gab, be able to flirt with a girl, be able to get her attraction and her interest. I think we would call it game back
well,
in the day.
Well, it's an Oxford dictionary, so they do have a definition.
What is it?
It says it's a noun that means style, charm, attractiveness, or the ability to attract a romantic or sexual partner.
All right. Tell me how they, because I'm very interested in this, how they have like eloquently put together how they came up with this and their definition and why they're choosing this word. Because some of the shit that this generation comes out with is ridiculous. So I want to know, why did they settle on Riz?
So I'm looking here. It doesn't say exactly why they picked that one, but they did provide a short list of other words that were just super popular. They did say it was at the forefront of words like Riz came to the forefront during the pandemic. So I guess just people having more conversations online, it just populated way more. But the other words they had for this year is beige flag.
Words, by the way. Tell the Oxford Dictionary they need to sort their shit out.
They didn't even put a dash.
Yeah.
Hi, guys. It's Michael from the Oxford Dictionary here. I've got some great words for you this year. First beige one's beige flag. I left school at 16. I can tell the Oxford Dictionary right now that they are wrong because beige flag is two fucking words.
What does it mean, though? What is beige flag?
So it means like you're like, it's not a red flag. This isn't something concerning or problematic. It's that this person is like kind of boring or milquetoast.
It's the pronouns of describing people. It's just dude.
This list is the pronouns of describing people.
Yeah.
My God.
I do agree with parasocial being in the running for word of the year. Because a lot of people have been developing relationships with people that they don't know online. And I think that's a weird phenomenon that has been pushed to the forefront over the past, whatever, 2-3 years now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think what's weird is a lot of these big social media personalities, when you see them in real life, they are like dead silent. Like they just like, it's like they have no social skills. But it's like, I watch your Instagram and it's like you are loud and prolific and your hands are flying. And you're, that'd be like Bisping being the way he is now. And then you meet him in public and he's just hovering over his phone, not talking to anybody. You know, that's good social skills, but kids these days don't have it.
I keep myself to myself, Michael Chiesa.
No, you're a quiet guy. You're a flamboyant character, Mike.
Flamboyant character. I've never been
in 2001, that was a word.
Flamboyant. What else we got on the list, Harrington?
We have situationship, a romantic or sexual relationship that is not considered to be formal or established.
Well, Gen Z had to come up with a word to stop them from feeling like whores.
And they are probably going to come up with words to stop them feeling like losers.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Gen Z is like, they can't put up with any kind of emotional stress. They can't put up with anything. They get addicted to everything. You can't get mad at them. You can't like momentarily like go, for fuck's sake, at them, right? I have someone that shall remain anonymous. So when I got a little bit mad, I went, for fuck's sake. And that was it. That was the end of the relationship. The guy had fucked up pretty big, right? It was a big mistake. And I just went, for fuck's sake. He's like, don't do that. Oh, anyway, we'll leave that there. Do you know what I mean? It was like,
now, I'm curious. When the show gets over, I'm going to ask you who that was. You
know? Toughen up. Toughen up. What else we got?
We have a heat dome, which I've never heard that before, a persistent high pressure weather system over a particular geographic area with traps massive hot air below.
I thought the
heat dome sounds like
word. I was expecting a Gen Z word, not heat dome with like a nice scientific term to it.
Swifty, which I think that, you know, that might be my word of the year.
This being a Swifty for sure.
Oh, I like to shake it up, baby.
Prompt is a big word of the year, because of the rise in AI. And then the last one is de-influencing, the practice of discouraging people from buying particular products or of encouraging people to reduce their consumption of material goods.
That's not, again, Oxford Dictionary, based in England. I'm ashamed. Influence. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're just going to put a D. De-influence. Yeah, pretty much sure that means like the negative to take away. You know what I mean? It's like, my God. Speaking of though, you did just touch on something a second ago. What did you say?
Which person, me?
Did we talk about, Taylor Swift?
Oh yeah, Swifties. She was at the game last night.
Oh, was she really? Tell me about your experience.
Oh, I wasn't at the game. I was just watching on TV. Anthony might have been at the game because he's a season ticket holder. Or no, it was at Lambeau. It wasn't at Arrowhead. It was at Lambeau. But Taylor Swift showed up for the Chiefs game, and the Chiefs lost by 2 points, I believe, to the Green Bay Packers. Well, do you watch American football, Bisping?
I don't know. I am aware of some media outlets trying to take down some young innocent child for going dressed up as his football team recently.
Oh my god!
Blackness. Let's not get into that.
No, but we'll go way into the weeds on that one, dude.
Sure. I keep up with the news.
Yeah,
I keep up with the news and Taylor Swift. Every time I turn the news on, there is Taylor Swift. She's there with her boyfriend Travis Kelce. Look, I know the names, and you'll know another name that I'm going to throw your way. And Harrington, you can set the scene. And Brian, I would like your thoughts as well, because you like a good conspiracy, Brian.
Oh,
Paige Van Zandt. Paige Van Zandt, of course, former UFC, bare knuckle, AEW wrestling superstar, and sensation on OnlyFans, says that the whole Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift thing is a conspiracy. Harrington.
Yes. So she says it is essentially the NFL must have put her up to it. It is to make the NFL bigger. Getting Taylor Swift at these games is going to greatly increase the the watchability of the NFL.
Brian, is this the episode where Harrington gets fired for the worst description of a story that he knows all about?
Okay. What? Well, I mean, it's coming at some point, but what did I get wrong this time? Brian, do you want to just play the video?
Kelce love story.
Yeah.
I believe it is 100% fake. Come for me, Swifties. I have UFC fans coming for me. I think I can handle the Swifties. I believe it is 100% fake. It is publicity. It is one, it's huge for the NFL because yes, the NFL is big.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift is huge. And now she's getting an entirely different demographic to come watch the NFL. I think of the wives that are buying Travis Kelce jerseys now. It's a huge publicity play on both fronts. It's good for Taylor Swift. It's good for the NFL. It's good for Travis Kelce. There's so much strategic stuff that's happening.
You are a conspiracy theorist a little 100%. Bit. Way more than I am.
It's not a conspiracy theorist if everything I say is true.
Yeah.
Okay, Paige, not everything you say is true. Let's just jack it down. First and foremost, if there was ever some type of conspiracy for popularity, it would be Travis initiating this himself. It's not like the NFL is at some plateau of viewership. They're not going to go hit the office and be like, all right, boys, how do we get more viewers? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to tell Travis Kelce to reach out to Taylor Swift so they can date, so we can bring in more fans. I mean, get out of here with that. I don't buy it for a second.
I mean,
and for Travis, good on him, because that's a good retirement plan. You know, he's already well off enough. Him and Taylor start having kids, and then he can be a stay-at-home dad, to say the least. I mean, she's
Brian.
I have a more deep, dark conspiracy theory about this.
I'm going to believe you over her, to be honest with you. So let's hear what you got to say.
Well, this one's a little fucking out to left field for sure. But I think it's funny that Travis Kelce was putting out vaccine commercials and then started dating Taylor Swift. I think she is payment for him being a shill. That's
hold on.
Not my pinpoint.
Oh my God. So like they just have Taylor Swift, the far left, as well as all
the far left. Oh, this is not this is.
Oh, the pharmaceutical companies.
They have
their prized possession. They have Taylor Swift just on speed dial.
Money buys a lot of things, man.
Look, listen, Taylor Swift, number one, it just came out. She's a billionaire. Okay. She is probably the most famous pop star on the planet, one of the biggest celebrities on the planet. She's at a level of Michael Jackson in his prime. We're going back to the 80s, right?
They had Michael Jackson.
Like, oh God, who had Michael Jackson?
The people in charge, man.
Dude, here we go.
The same people.
The
same people who were funding Jeffrey Epstein's island.
Oh, here we go.
Same people who those are the people that run the world.
Yeah.
It's not crazy to say that.
I agree with you to a certain extent, but I think if anybody is plotting with this Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce thing, I think it's him. I think it's him. Like, I'm going to do what I can. Because if you look at his track record, his last four girlfriends.
It's all a plot, Mike.
But you got to
know. Nobody's plotting.
Bitch, Ming, you need to look up Travis Kelce's last four girlfriends. And I will tell you this.
I couldn't give a shit. I am refusing to look up Travis Kelce's last four girlfriends. Brian will do that for me.
I was going to say, I think that's my hint.
Yeah. Cue him in. But I will say this before they come up. They are polar opposite of Taylor Swift. That's the thing that's a little bit interesting about it.
No.
Here we go.
No. He's just playing the field. He's doing the licorice all sorts. Listen, I'll be honest. So what if there's polar opposites? Yeah. I like a blonde. I like a brunette. You know what I mean? Variety is the spice of life. I don't know when he gets paid. I'm going to take a stab in the dark, right?
Yeah.
He might like a stab in the dark sometimes as well. You got to mix it up. I'm going to take a stab in the dark here, right? He's got millions of dollars. I'll throw, right? Will he have millions of dollars?
Mm-hmm. He's very well off.
Would Taylor Swift is a billionaire. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is it possible that they just fell in love and the media can't get enough of it? Is that possible? Of course.
That's what I think it is. But I'm just saying, if there was to be a conspiracy, that's what it would be. I think Travis Kelce shot a shot and it's landed.
Yeah, of course, that's probably the way it happened, but that's no fun.
Right?
Yeah. No, exactly. It's no fun. It's no fun. Real quick. Yes or no answers. Did we go to the moon?
Yes.
Is the Earth flat?
No.
Do you believe in evolution?
Yes.
Is there a God?
There's a higher power for sure. Yeah.
How many children do you have?
Zero.
This was getting to know Michael Chiesa in 30 seconds or less. All right. It's a good little segment. I'm going to start doing that every time.
That's nice.
We've had some surprising answers to those questions.
Yeah. I have other conspiracies that just aren't fit for the YouTube channel. You know, like the Epstein stuff, the Pizzagate stuff. Like, that's what I get into. But I'm not a flat earther. I believe in evolution. Like, that type of stuff. Like, yeah, there's nothing that tells me otherwise. Like, I love Joe Rogan's stoned ape theory. I think that's the best.
To be fair, the best one. On the whole Epstein thing, why won't they release the flight logs?
I agree for sure. It drives me nuts, dude.
Because all the people that would release it are on it.
Yeah.
Well, because also as well, and I saw this. This isn't my, I don't spend too much time thinking about these things.
Yeah.
But I did see on the news the other day they were talking about it, and they said, well, let's just assume if they did release it, because they just, once again, if I'm not correct, right, Bri, they were going to release it the time where it was kind of controlled, kind of expired. And they could have released it, and they chose not to once again. And the person that was talking about it was like, well, hold on a minute. If they did release it, stay on the screen, Brian. If they did release it, maybe there's innocent people on there that get to clear their name, because there was someone on there that went there with the children or something, and it was totally natural causes or innocent reasons.
Mm-hmm. You can make the argument that anything's a cover story when you're going to somewhere that is devious. Let's say.
How about Ricky Gervais? Remember the intro
it was amazing.
The Emmys or Oscars, and you just see him say something about Epstein Island, and you just see Tom Hanks. They snap it to Tom Hanks, and he's like,
"Oh,
I love Tom Hanks, man."
Yeah, I do too.
We should have a phone call about Tom Hanks. Dude.
Well, I know. I've seen the rumors. I've heard all about Tom Hanks.
Gump, dude. Not the guy. Not Gump, dude. Not Gump. Gump's a G. You can't do this to me, Tom Hanks. Come on. Oh,
just tread very carefully when you're talking about Tom Hanks, please, Matt.
I am. I don't know. I'm just saying.
You've never seen this show before. Clearly, I lose my mind. Anyone starts talking shit about Tom Hanks, it happens every episode. I won't stand for it. There's a lot of things I'll stand for. But do not be using or taking the fucking name of Tom Hanks in vain.
Do you follow him on Twitter?
I couldn't give a fuck.
He's a weird follow on Twitter.
Yeah. I don't know.
His son is, though. Have you seen his son?
His son looks like a billboard of.
Billboard of modern society shit. He's like, he wanted to be a modern day rapper or something.
Really?
Some like rapper or whatever. And he would just, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe he's grown out of it. That's a long time ago.
He's real life Jamie Kennedy from Malibu's Most Wanted. He talks in a patois. Yeah, no. Dude.
Yeah, he does.
Can you find
the video? No way. You got to be kidding me.
He gives a right about now when he's talking, man.
Oh my gosh. No way.
Yeah,
So Tom Hanks. All right. one of the nicest guys in the world, it seems like.
Yeah.
But that's the son. That's the offspring, Brian. Are you saying that some of these reasons might be true and that's why the children that he's rearing? And by the way, I think it's all bullshit for the record. Mainstream media, I don't think this. I don't buy this. I don't like this. But I'm saying this for you all for the sake of the conversation, yeah?
I don't know how the best man in the world could have raised this guy, but listen to this.
Big up the whole island, massive. It's your boy Chetana, coming straight from that Golden Globes, you watching? My father Tom Hanks presenting in a while, soon forward come. Big up, tune in.
That is not how he talks all the time. There is not a chance in hell that is how he talks all the time. That was just for camera.
He's having a laugh. Leave him alone. I like that. I like that video. Anyway, let's move on.
We got to let go of the Tom Hanks thing.
Castaway, brilliant. Yeah. Big, great. One of my favorite movies as a kid.
Yeah.
Forrest Gump, what else is good?
Oh, Sleepless in Seattle.
Toy Story.
Oh. Toy Story.
Captain Phillips.
Captain.
That was
I'm the captain. I'm the captain. Remember that, Michael.
I will.
I'm the captain.
So you went from Michael the Count Bisping to Michael the Captain Bisping.
Always been the captain of this show, baby. The captain of this ship. There's only one name. All right, guys, I want to talk about Waterboy, which is sponsored today's episode. And listen, Waterboy is what you need if you want to stay hydrated, if you want to get electrolyted, if you want to make sure that you're not going to be hungover the next day. Well, then that is where Waterboy comes in. Go to waterboy.com/Bisping to get 15% off. But first of all, let me tell you about it. Waterboy is a hydration powder scientifically formulated to cut your hangover time in half. There are other hydration packs on the market, but nothing comes anywhere close to fighting those Sunday hangovers like Waterboy. With zero sugar and over three times the electrolytes of liquid IV, your hangover stands no chance. Unlike the other competitors, Waterboy has added specific ingredients beyond just hydration to help with nausea and fatigue. And we all know that hydration alone isn't enough to help after a holiday bender. And look, listen, this isn't just for people that like a drink. Waterboy's hangover recovery formula makes a thoughtful stocking stuffer or a fantastic gift for your loved ones. There's nothing like saying, hey, you have a drink problem, by giving them Waterboy on Christmas Day. But listen, if you work out a lot, this thing is fantastic for that. I was on the road last week. I was in Austin, Texas. I had them with me every day after my workout. I would have one because water alone, as I said, is not enough to stay hydrated. So this holiday season, all you listeners will get 15% off the entire order when you go to waterboy.com/Bisping. By the way, it tastes delicious. If you just want to make your water, you want to spice it up, you want to give it some flavor and just enjoy a nice drink, that's good for you. Go to waterboy.com/Bisping, 15% off. waterboy.com/Bisping. Harrington, mixed martial arts, news, hard-hitting stories. Give us your best shot, please.
I think the other big fight this weekend, Mike Perry versus Eddie Alvarez. I don't know if you guys got a chance to see that.
I did. The fight, I went to a nice little steakhouse with Brendan Fitzgerald and Lappy. You'll know him, one of the producers. And I may have been sent a little stream. So I clicked on it whilst having some food. Pretty short fight. I want to say this. I didn't watch it too much. I was at dinner, but I did watch it. It was short. I think it was either one or two rounds. I forget now. Maximum respect to Eddie Alvarez and Mike Perry, because what I did see, it was too furious to really break it down. I mean, them two just brawled their asses off, swinging with everything they had. The amount of damage that both men took was unbelievable. And then in the end, the corner of Eddie Alvarez was like, nah, that's it. If I'm mistaken, correct me, please, Harrington. But as I was sitting watching dinner, that's what it looked like. And I just thought it was, for a very short fight, the amount of action was ridiculous.
And they do 2-minute rounds of bare knuckle, correct? It's not threes. Mm. It's not 5 minutes for sure. I think it's 2-minute rounds.
2 minutes.
Yeah. You know, I didn't watch the fight, but surprisingly, I watched a lot of clips from the presser. Mike Perry. I didn't mean to mix them up. Mike Perry. Hey, there you go. He had a really funny video in the locker room. I don't know if you guys saw it, where he's doing like his King of Violence spiel. And he's like, I don't know. I'll talk to you guys about it afterwards. But either way, Mike Perry.
Just say it.
No, he talks about grabbing him by the. You remember the grab him by the pussy thing with Donald Trump?
You can say that. We don't care. Okay.
So he makes a reference to that. He gives this really funny speech. I'll send it to you guys. But bare knuckle boxing is Mike Perry's calling. Like that is there's not a better sport out there. Like it's just so befitting for him. It's like his personality, the way he fights. And he was even a good MMA fighter. He had good grappling skills and takedown defense, but he is fit for bare knuckle boxing. Like for however long that this is sustainable, he is going to be the face of BKFC. This is funny.
Oh, let's have a look.
I got a big win against Eddie Alvarez. How are you feeling right now?
I feel great, man. My first act as king is this world needs men got to stand up, bro. We have to man up. We got to stop being liberals. You know, we got to start grabbing women by the pussy again. Point blank, period, man. Get in the kitchen. Make me a sandwich, bro. I got work to do. I'm here to feed the family, okay? I feed us. I feed our pockets, and you feed our mouths, and then we feed each other, and I feed off of you and that watery little playground you got down
there. Oh, God.
He is so funny, like naturally funny. He's a good – as weird as it is, like, I don't listen to, like, Joe Rogan religiously, but when I saw Mike Perry was on, I was like, I got to listen to Mike Perry because he's going to say some funny shit. He's hilarious.
No, he's brilliant. And you know what? I really like the guy. I mean, listen, he's out of his mind. He's saying some controversial stuff there. He's trying to be funny. Sure. He's trying to have a laugh. You know what I mean? Listen, the good thing about the world is that there's all different types of people.
Yeah.
If everyone was the same, if it was uniform, if everyone thought the same, had the same opinions, dressed the same, had the same interests and hobbies, the world would be a boring place. Okay. Sure. So everyone be yourself. Be yourself. And it's great that we have people like Mike Perry. And it's great that we have people that are the opposite of Mike Perry. You know what I'm saying? So just fucking be yourself, everyone. As long as you're a good person.
Yeah.
As long as
it's not like I'm laughing because I agree with him. I'm laughing because it's like Sean Strickland. He'll say stuff I don't agree with, but I can't help but get a laugh out of it.
No.
We need people like Mike Perry and Sean Strickland.
Mike Perry's hilarious. Yeah. He's absolutely fucking hilarious. Yeah. Good for him. And I am so happy. So happy. I mean, the fight was amazing and he's making a lot of money from what I hear. So again, Well done. Harrington, that was not what I was looking for, though. I was looking for, and I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to do it myself. Brian and Harrington, jump on this screen, please, as we have this conversation. So this news broke last week. The light heavyweight champion of the world, the one and only Jamahal Hill, friend of the show, of course. I think it was just after we did the show last week. And the news broke. I just looked at my phone and there it was. I scrolled Instagram for a quick minute and it popped up. Jamahal Hill arrested for domestic violence. Ugh. And that's never a good headline. No. Because you think one thing. Your mind immediately goes to what is typically domestic violence. You've beaten up your wife, something like that. But it wasn't that. Harrington, give us some more details.
So in this story comes out that Jamahal Hill got into an exchange with his brother. He did address it very briefly on his YouTube channel. He said, there's been reports out there today about the situation that happened when I was back home in Michigan visiting for the holidays. I will just say this. At this time, it's an open case. I've been advised not to speak on it, which I know not to speak on. I just can't wait for the truth to be told in court. I will wait for that day, and I look forward to that day. People who know me and know my character, who truly and truly rock with me and know who I am, hold on to that. Stay true to that. That's all I'm going to say on that.
You know, I hate the headline because the outlets like TMZ that get a very casual following, they go to the one thing. Like you said, you see domestic violence, you just automatically think that this guy beat his girlfriend or his wife. And you would think that for them, they would put the extra part about it being with his brother to not try to, I don't know. I think it was very distasteful for them to just leave the headlines that bare when there's so much more to the story.
Maybe, I don't know if it was malicious or not. I mean, maybe that is, you know what I mean? Maybe it's just factual. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it's just that it's classed as domestic violence. That was the charge because it was at home. I don't know this for a fact, but from what I'm led to believe, this was after Thanksgiving. It was on Thursday.
Yeah.
Brian Harrington, do you have brothers? I know, Michael, you've only got sisters. You might have beaten up some of your sisters over the years.
No, they beat me
up. I'll tell you this. As a man that's got three brothers, I have fought cat and dog. Not with my younger brother, mainly with Conrad and Stephen. And when I say fought, I've been beaten up many times. Conrad is the size of a bloody... He's gigantic. He is absolutely massive. He has kicked the living shit out of me. And we've had some wild fights in our house, okay? My mum, the poor woman, and my dad having to break us up, and me getting the shit kicked out of me. Never had the police involved, though.
Yeah, if my brother went to jail every time he kicked the shit out of me on Thanksgiving, I mean... He would still be in jail. I mean, this shouldn't be a story, you know? Like, you do dumb shit.
Oh, hold on. Sorry.
It's all right, buddy. Yeah, yeah. Go on, you were saying. Your brothers.
You know, he would be in jail forever. This isn't a story for the public, and especially not a domestic violence charge. I mean, I don't even know. I don't even know what would be better. Assault is not better than domestic violence. They're still really bad charges, but, like, I don't know.
Dude, back in my day, this was just called family business. Yes. This didn't make the paper, dude.
Yes.
And your brother go to the side yard and fight it out. I don't know what to tell you.
Listen, I hate to go on, you know, I've told my story. Our house growing up was a madhouse. It was a shit show. We were known on the whole street. My dad was loud. My mum was loud. There was a lot of shit going down, okay?
Sorry about that.
Well, you go, brother. The police were never involved. I mean, maybe sometimes if it got really extreme, you know what I mean? The police were definitely around a few times. But what I'm saying is that nobody got taken away in the back of the car. Nobody was charged. Nobody reported on it because no one gave a fuck about us back then. And certainly no one was suing anybody or anything like that. Now, we don't know the details, right? We don't know the details. For Jamal Hill, obviously, he cannot speak on it because it is an active investigation. And of course, if he has a lawyer, which I'm assuming he does, they would have said, don't talk about this. Not to mention the fact that you're the former light heavyweight champion of the world and you want to fight for the belt. Don't complicate the waters. However, I guess we've got to wait and see. You know what I mean? Maybe we're all sitting here and saying, this is crazy. I mean, if he's gone fucking apeshit, smashed the house up, destroyed his brother, he's currently on a life support machine, smacked his mum at the same time, you know what I mean? Maybe they had to call the police, right?
Yeah.
We're assuming that that didn't happen, though.
Yeah, it's always the holidays. I don't know what it is. It's like, this is a time for holiday cheer. It's like, no, siblings are fighting each other, old or young. It doesn't matter. It's the holidays are like a magnet for dysfunction in some families. I feel like it's just, and it's usually siblings, like sibling type rivalries. I may not have brothers, but I've been in many conflicts with my sister. I used to get my ass kicked by him a lot, but arguments arise on the holidays for some reason. I don't know why. It's something about the holiday spirit that just makes siblings want to fight each other.
No, it really is. It is always the holidays. Christmas in our house was growing up. I mean, in not this house that I'm in now. This house is great. That was always a good one. My mom and dad, that's when the fight of the year would go down. Christmas Day. It was awesome.
It has money stress too. You know what I mean?
Anything else to add, Harrington O'Brien, before we move on?
You shouldn't go to jail for beating up your annoying brother.
Yeah, no. Who knows? Maybe it's none of my business. But when it comes out in the public, you garnish interest in it naturally. And it's like, I'd be interested to hear how the whole thing panned out. I have a feeling maybe they're in an argument that happened outside and maybe a neighbor called the police. Maybe it wasn't that bad, but there was an outside source. Who knows? It's honestly, it's not my business, nor is it the world's business, how families operate. But it's just unfortunate for Jamal. And maybe I'm just being biased because I'm like, I'm a homer. I like Jamal a lot. So maybe I'm being a little hypersensitive to how this is being treated. Because it's just very unfortunate for the guy. He's had a rough year.
But you actually said that perfectly there, because the thing is, and more than likely, let's be honest, and we're, again, you know, assuming probably a bit of alcohol involved, usually is. It's the holidays, right? You're drinking, you have a bit of an argument, right? And you start having, it maybe gets a little bit carried away. This is one kind of hypothetical version. Hypothetical, of course, but as you just said there, maybe it was getting a little rowdy. Maybe the neighbors call the police. Maybe the police show up and Jamal's like, because what? There's one thing about family, your brothers, your wife, they will get you madder than anybody else on the planet, right? If I'm arguing with Rebecca, which doesn't happen very often, but when that does happen, my God, I take no prisoners. My temper is at a 10. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And if him and his brother, let's assume, because he was the guy I mentioned, are going at it, and then a cop shows up, sticking his nose in where it's not required, and he might have just gone, well, fuck you. What the fuck are you even doing here? And all the rest. And then he gets arrested. Right, you put it all together. There he is. He's arrested for domestic violence.
Well, I don't know what the rules are in Michigan, but I know in Washington State, if there is a domestic dispute, like if somebody calls the police, whether it's somebody within the problem or like on the outside seeing it, if they call the police and say, hey, these two people are fighting, it's getting physical, the cops always have to detain somebody. Like they'll show up like, well, there's a domestic dispute. We're here. Like somebody has to go to jail. Who's it going to be? Like it literally boils down to that. At least that's the law here in Washington. I don't know about Michigan, but I know that I've had friends that have gotten in domestic disputes with, you know, people within their family and like had to go to jail because the cops are like, well, we have to take somebody. No one's getting off scot-free. So it could have been a situation with that as well, where it's the cops are just forced to detain somebody.
Anyway, I hope it all works out. I hope it was nothing too serious for Jamal. You never know. Yeah. The champion of the world gets arrested. That's going to make headlines. As I say, hopefully it's just one of those days with family. But I saw this video at the weekend. UFC 296 is just around the corner. Colby Covington going up against Leon Edwards. As we know, he's Donald Trump's favorite fighter. Where are you on the list of Donald Trump's favorite fighters, Michael?
I don't think I make the list, honestly. Even though I did get to meet the former president of the United States, he didn't know me by name. I did. I met him at, I forget which pay-per-view
MSG?
It was. Yeah, no, he came to a Vegas show this year. I was in training camp, but I saw him and I was with Juliana Pena. And so I kind of wrote her coattails because she's a former champion herself, wrote her coattails up for a chance to meet the president. I mean, whether you love him or hate him, you're always going to jump at the opportunity to meet a president. I mean, that's the leader of our country, whether you love him or hate him. It was pretty cool, though. But he did acknowledge that I was a fighter, and he acknowledged my work at the desk, but he didn't know me by name.
Nice.
He's a big Bo Nickel fan, to my understanding, though.
Oh, well, he should be. Bo Nickel's the American hero, the man that's going to take down Hamza, the man that's going to reclaim the middleweight title. But America's already got it in Sean Strickland. Totally forgot about that. There was a cool little video doing the rounds. I'm excited for Leon Edwards versus Colby Covington going down in a couple of weeks. The same night as Tales from the Octagon 2. Get your tickets from myticket.co.uk.
Nice plug.
Harrington, but Brian, play the video.
We're at Mar-a-Lago. It was a good night seeing Trump.
I just want to say we're going to be watching Colby and been an incredible career. So it'll be a great night. And I look forward to it. Traveling out there. They're going to root you on. You're going to be fantastic.
I'm going to take back that little towel. You're going to take back the White House. We're going to make America great.
That's a really interesting concept. Let's put them together.
Yeah.
Let's go. We have to.
We got to sit down and have some dinner after a meeting with him and showing him the suit that we made with his face and his mugshot on the back of it.
Hold that tight so I can give it a good one, okay?
Just a great night for MAGA and what the future is to hold.
That's pretty good.
Awesome.
Good luck, Colby. Go out there, man.
Just an honor to be here in his presence, the presence of greatness. And we're going to make America great again. You can delay us, but you cannot deny us. We're coming, baby. December 16th, live on pay-per-view.
I have a good question for you, Mike. Who do you think?
Hold on. Real quick, though. You got to give it to Colby. That man knows how to cut a promo.
Yeah.
He really does, you know, and regardless of Trump and his politics, regardless of what you think about him there, I mean, again, very charismatic. And them two together, I mean, they're gonna double them up. He's going to take back the title. He's going to take back the White House. It's quite the story there, Michael.
It's a great story. And you know what? He really willed his way into a relationship with Donald Trump. And that's good for him. You know, that's got to benefit him in and outside of the octagon, whether it be just free rounds on Trump's private golf course or whatever it is. But if Trump and Colby can't win the office and the title at the same time, who do you think has better odds of winning? Colby beating Leon Edwards or Donald Trump becoming president again? Who has better odds?
Well, that's a very easy question.
Yeah.
The easy answer is Donald Trump is going to become the president. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. But Donald Trump or somebody from the Republicans are going to be in power. In power.
Yeah, for sure.
Leon Edwards is going to win that fight.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm pretty sure about that. Obviously there's a chance of Colby, and I appreciate Colby very much.
Yeah.
But I favor Leon in that fight.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's Donald Trump or whoever the Republican representative is, Joe Biden can't string a sentence together these days. And I feel like a lot of people are going to be losing faith in him. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know, man. I don't think he's got a good... His approval rating is in the toilet and things like that. So to answer your question, because you asked it me, there's your answer. Very simple.
It's a good answer. I like it. I like Leon in that fight with Colby, too. I mean, I just think... You don't want to do perennial matchups like how, you know, fighter A did against fighter C, that type of stuff. But like, you look at how Leon performed against Kamaru Usman. It's like, there's nothing that tells me Colby can do anything better than what Kamaru attempted to do against Leon Edwards, especially in the second fight. So, I'm with you on that one. I think Leon and Trump are in for both winning their respected fights.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not saying that Colby doesn't have a path to victory, because I truly believe that he does.
He really does, yeah.
And when you look at Kamaru Usman in the third fight, I do believe that getting knocked out in the second one played a massive factor. It did. He just wasn't himself, and he seemed more back to himself when he fought Khamzat Chimaev. Mm-hmm. So I think if that one shot, and I'm not taking away from Leon's victory either, you got to be careful, because the UK fans... they love their champion, and rightly so. So I don't want to take away from his victory, far from it. But I'm just saying, you know, that had a big impact, the way that he knocked out Kamaru Usman. It really did. Now, I think Colby's a little bit different. He's kind of packaged the same way on paper. But I think the pace, I think the output, and I also think that with the stakes being so high, the fact that he is 35, 36, it's his third attempt at a title fight. I don't think he gets another one. So I think you put all that together, I think it's going to be a tough fight. But I do believe, more than likely, Leon pulls it off.
Well, and with Colby's weaponized cardio, like he could bring a level of fatigue to Leon that he had to deal with similarly to the first fight with Kamaru. Because, I mean, look, he got the knockout. He got the final blow. But up until that point, it was one-way traffic for three rounds for Kamaru Usman. Aside from the first round, Kamaru pretty much manhandled him for three rounds until the knockout. But Colby has enough cardio within him that he could push a pace on Leon Edwards to get get that level of fatigue to where he could maybe make him struggle a little bit more. That's what he's best at. Oh, God damn it. Hold on.
12 seconds later.
Let me ask you this, Michael Chiesa. Were you a man that got involved in a lot of street fights when you were younger?
I would say about average. Like, I would say maybe average, maybe a little below. I was kind of a bullied a little bit. I was kind of a shrimp. So if I found if I found another shrimp, then we would duel. But, you know, I wasn't really in a ton of fights.
Classic bullying tactics from Michael Chiesa. Could have guessed it. I could have guessed it. A man that lives in a log cabin, looks like a real man. Do you chop wood with an axe?
I do. I do chop wood with an axe. I do it pretty well. My teammate, Sam Cecilia, every year he comes up to my house because he goes to the lumberjack games, and he'll come up to my house and practice with his throwing axe. So we'll get out back. Split wood, but we'll throw the axes into targets.
Do you wear a plaid shirt while you're doing it?
A flannel. I have a very nice flannel selection. And when I'm chopping wood,
do you drink a cup of coffee like as you're looking out into your 5 acres?
In the mornings, yes. But before I chop wood, I drink beer. Safety first.
Oh, of course. And why wouldn't you? Hold on. I'm trying to think of some other stereotypes. Harrington and Brian, help me out with the stereotypes.
Do I wear suspenders? For sure.
For a northern man, northern Pacific.
Yeah.
Are you there, Harrington and Brian?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, is a lot of hardtack for breakfast?
Oh, I just like, what do you mean? What's like, I mean, Copenhagen and hard, you know, Copenhagen and fried eggs is kind of what I'm going for, you know.
Hell yeah, dude.
Hold on. What the hell's Copenhagen?
That would be chewing tobacco, Mr. Bisping.
Ah,
throw in a lip ripper, you know, and go out there and chop some wood, you know.
Which is the most disgusting thing ever, the dip thing, that stuff.
I'm on the Zins now. I've left the Copenhagen in the past. The Zins get the job done. They're great.
Okay. Okay. Anyway, the reason I asked about the street fights is because there's one man out there called Mike Tyson. As we know, he had a bit of a troublesome childhood, and it's still to this day, even though he's Mr. Cool, he's Mr. Zen, and he's always high. We saw that thing recently on the plane where he lost his shit. And to be fair, you fuck around, you find out. And he definitely got what was coming to him on the Southwest flight. Mike Tyson had enough, jumped up, pummeled the crap out of him. Harrington, what's the update?
So his lawyer, there was no charges pressed against Tyson for the incident, but his lawyer is threatening to sue in civil court. He's approached Mike Tyson with a demand for $450,000 with the promise that a lawsuit will file quickly after if Tyson does not meet the demands. Tyson's lawyer came out and said, "We have received the shakedown letter and it will not work against us."
No. Well, and I'd be interested to see, like, are they going to get testimonies from people that saw the incident happen? For me, I don't even think it would take that, because I think that this guy was drunk. He was out of line. And if you poke the bear, you're going to get the paws. Like, that's just the way it goes. Like, you can't give somebody a pass just because, let's say Mike Tyson's an average human being that doesn't fight. And let's say that guy pisses him off by poking and prodding at him, and that guy swats him. That guy's not going to do anything. But the fact that it's Mike Tyson, it's like you almost went out there with the intention to do this.
That's actually a really good point. I do like that, because I wondered where you were going with it. But you're absolutely right. It's like, there's Mike Tyson. Let's keep pissing him off. The guy was drunk. We've all seen the video. Mm-hmm. You know, all right, granted, you know, turn the other cheek, ignore them, don't respond, all that type of stuff. But when you just bloody, you've had a long day. You know what I mean? You're tired, you're on an evening flight, and you've got some drunk guy. Now, granted, I think we'd like to think that most people wouldn't react that way. But you also do know that it's Mike Tyson. That's why you recognize him in the first place. Yeah. You know some of the stuff that he said and done. He was the heavyweight champion of the world. The man's, you know, been very open about it. It's like Russell Brand, he was talking, and you saw what happened with Russell Brand. All these women came out with these allegations, which kind of went quiet, didn't it? It kind of went quiet, but the police are now investigating it. I know nothing about what went down, but Russell Brand's kind of defense at the time, and as I say, I wasn't in the room. I don't know anything about it. But Russell Brand's kind of defense, and this is where the similarity comes in, I guess, or the comparison, should I say, is that he was like, hold on a minute, all these women, they're saying, you know, they knew what I was like. I was very openly a sex addict and a drug addict. I was going out trying to have sex with every woman I could find. Do you know what I mean? So he'd set his stall out. And as I say, I don't know any of the other details. Mike Tyson's kind of the same thing. Do you know what I mean? Not with the sex, but with the violence. But very open that this is a very, very violent man, and a man that is capable of doing some, you know, unsavory things.
Yeah.
And what do? You continue to push his buttons.
Yeah. Like I said, I think the guy was intentionally doing that. Like, you're going out of your way to poke and prod at a guy that is historically kind of had a temper. So it's like, is this a guy trying to get a cash grab? I'm going to go out on a limb and say, yes, you know what you did. You went out there and I'm sure it's hard to piss Mike Tyson off, but in that type of setting, like you said, long day, night flight, you're exhausted, drunk guy, close quarters, can't get away from, you can't turn your cheek. You're in an airplane. There's only so many places you can go. I think the guy knew what he was doing and was intending for this to come of it.
Look, listen, I'm not condoning somebody losing the shit, right? At his age, he should have known better. You know what I mean? I'm going to read that out in just a second. So I'm not condoning his violence, but there is, you know, he was kind of provoked. And here's what Tyson had to say. He said, "I'm usually good at these things. I guess it was just his number. I was wrong. It never should have happened. That's me back at my primitive child stages. I shouldn't have done that, but I was irritated and blind, tired, high, pissed off. Shit happens."
Yeah.
And listen, he's right. He's right. And that guy is trying to shake him down for $450,000. Afterwards, the guy hardly had a mark on him. He was kind of smiling. He was pretending that he was crying. I'm sure he's getting on with his life all fine. If it wasn't Mike Tyson, if he wasn't famous, if he didn't have some money, if he didn't have a way of squeezing some fucking cash out of him, he wouldn't be trying to shake him down right now. He would have just got on with his day. If it was just, let's just say, someone that can handle themselves, but nobody knows who it is. Let's say it was you on the plane. I'm joking.
Let's say it's me. No.
As I was saying, that joke just, I was like, it was too easy to not say. No, but let's just say it's just some average guy. Do you know? Yeah. But he can handle himself. He wouldn't be pursuing this like this. He would have just got on with it and say, you know what? Lesson learned. I shouldn't have been annoying that dickhead. The reality is nobody died. Nobody had life-changing injuries. Okay, Tyson, he should also be a bit embarrassed of himself. You know, and he said that. He was wrong. He certainly was. It is a shakedown.
Yeah, it's what it seems like to me, and that's unfortunate. Like, that's the current state of society, right? It's like Mike doesn't deserve that type of treatment, and that it's a shame that there's so many people that would do things like that, poke and prod at a guy that's been there, done that. Like, for people like me and you, we see Mike Tyson, and I'm like in awe. Like, I'm thinking, this is the former heavyweight champion, this is Iron Mike. I grew up watching your highlight reel, but then there's other people that don't respect what he's done and look at it more as an opportunity, whether it's to gain monetary assets or if it's just to, like, I want to talk shit and piss this guy off because I'm drunk and I'm an idiot. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's a shame.
Well, I've been there myself.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you have.
I've had lawsuits myself. I've had a situation. I'm not even sure if I can speak on it.
Yeah. But I don't worry. I've been in lawsuits I can't talk about either.
Yeah. No, but I don't give a shit. I'll talk about it. When I was champion, it was well documented at the time.
Yeah.
Some guy, I was in the gym.
Yeah.
And fuck him. I don't care. I was in the gym and I was lifting weights.
Yeah.
And I was supersetting my kettlebell swings.
Yeah.
I was doing my kettlebell swings. I went back to the bench press. And when I was doing that, someone removed the weight from one side of the bar. So when I lifted the bar, and it was on this side, so I don't even see my hand, so I didn't realize there was no bar. So weight on the end of the bar.
Whoa.
When I lifted it up, obviously it was off balance. The weight fell off. It landed on the floor, almost landed on some innocent guy walking by, almost landed on his foot. Wow. And I was like, oh, shit, I'm so sorry. Are you okay? He's like, yeah, I'm okay. Are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. I looked around, there's a bunch of kids. And I did one of you guys take my weight off? They're like, yeah. And I was like trying to give them advice. I was a little irritated.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell are you doing? I said, you don't do that in a gym, guys. I said, that's really, really dangerous. You don't leave weights on one side of a bar. And certainly when it's not even your bar, you don't do that.
Yeah.
The guy's like, fuck you. Oh, anyway, I lost my temper. I didn't hit him. He got in my face. He said, I know where you live. I know where your family live and shit like that. So in the end, I grabbed a hold of him. Anyway, turns out the whole thing was a setup, but still got paid out, but I shouldn't really talk about it. Yeah. So if you're a media member on a shitty website, do me a favor, don't report this. Because he ain't watching the fucking podcast. I guarantee.
No.
Don't report on that, all right? Anyway. All right, guys, are you tired of wasting your money on testosterone booster products that simply don't work? I don't blame you. Right? That is why our sponsor, Nugenics Total T, will let you try before you buy. You can get a complimentary sample when you text 231 231 and enter the keyword belief. It's never been that easy. We've all got a phone. You're probably listening to me on your phone. Just text 231 231, enter the keyword belief, and it's going to come your way. What is going to come your way? Well, the rescue that you need to stop you from getting the dad bod, to giving you back your energy, to letting you become the man that you used to be, or the man that you were always destined to be. Listen, if you're going to the gym and working out and you're not getting the results, it's because your testosterone is dipping. Maybe you've lost shape, you're out of shape, your muscle, your energy. As we get older, we lose testosterone. That is the simple facts of life. But Nugenics Total T boosts free and total testosterone levels to help you feel better at work, in the gym, and in the bedroom. And by the way, Nugenics Total T Testosterone Booster with Testofen will help you turn back the clock and re-energize your life. But don't take our word for it. Try before you buy. If it works, keep it. If not, keep the sample. You've got nothing to lose, but you could gain the energy, the muscle, the drive, and the passion. Get your sample by texting 231 231 and enter the key word believe. Nugenics contains man-boosting ingredients like Testofen, which is shown in clinical studies to boost the testosterone levels in the man. Okay, it is an unprecedented formula with science-backed key ingredients. Don't be misled. Every product professes quality, okay? Nugenics is the number one doctor-recommended brand and the number one selling testosterone booster brand at GNC and Walmart. Well, you don't need to buy it from GNC or Walmart, and you don't need to pay for it. You just text 231-231. You enter the keyword believe, and it will be on its way. Text now and get a bottle of Nugenics Thermo X, the newest and most powerful fat incinerator ever. Come on. What are you waiting for? Lose weight, get lean, and do it fast. Text 231-231. Enter the keyword believe. 231-231. Enter the keyword believe. And now back to the show. 3, 2, 1. What are you doing for Christmas?
Christmas is spent at home. Yeah, just with the family. And then I'll get out and do a lot of snowboarding, travel around a little bit, and chase the pow, you know. You can talk bad about golf. You gotta respect the gnar, Michael Bisping. You gotta respect the gnar. You can get out there and shred some pow, my guy.
Ryan and Hamilton, please, I need help. I need support right now.
I get it. I snowboard. I understand.
My man, thank you.
Do you chase the pow?
I don't think I've ever said those words, but I understand.
You gotta chase chasing pow, baby. Come on, chasing storms. You know,
Mike, you're really not shredding gnar. Come on,
come on, Bisping.
I need someone to call up the people that make this terrible list of terms that douchebags use
from Oxford,
and put on chase the pow. For anyone that's in England and doesn't snowboard and is not a dick, he's talking about chasing the powder. The powder being the fresh powder.
Yeah, you know, that's right.
Like, oh, God.
Fresh tracks.
Chase the pow. How about just say do a little snowboarding?
I got to use my slang terms, you know. It makes me feel more hip, you know. I feel like I fit in more with the snowboarding crowd. I'm like, I'm chasing pow. You know what I'm saying?
I should
have said it in Tom Hanks' son's little accent. I should have, you know. But
back in my day, I would chase the punani. You know what I mean? Not the pow. That's what's wrong with society.
Chasing the punani. I like that. There's nothing I can say about that.
Anyway, Brian, how does it look like you were going to say something?
I was going to try to do the whole Tom Hanks patois talking about snowboarding and just
do
failed.
It.
No, it's
do you got
no,
it? Let's
I,
see
no,
it.
No.
Let's hear
now
it.
we gotta hear it.
Yeah, no backing out now, dude.
Right Come about on. Now, me and my friends, mom, we head to the mountains, shred the pawpaw.
Oh my God,
that was awful. Brian, just that was all right.
That was good, but that was bad. Like,
yes, give me your best one. Give me your best one.
Rude man, shred the pow, yeah.
Oh my God,
I don't even know if that's how you do it. I just shot.
This we might get taken down off YouTube for this, and we might get called racist, which is insane. It's insane. What was I going to say? There was a snowboarding game that I used to love on the PlayStation back in the day. Cool Borders,
yeah, or something. That's a good one. Cool Borders.
Was it Cool Borders or something?
Yeah, they had that, and then there was SSX Tricky.
That was tight. I liked SXX. That was
nice. I mean, I'm going back. I'm talking like 95, 96 on the original PlayStation.
What definitely the last cool time they made a snowboarding game was?
Yeah, I know. They don't even make Tony Hawk anymore. Tony Hawk was the best game ever, dude. I was all about.
Do you play a lot of games?
I know. I'm not much of a gamer. You're going to laugh at me. I'm just going to feed you some ammunition. But the only video game I have is my golf simulator in my garage where I'm working on my swings. That's usually where I film my podcast. But I'm working on my simulator right now. I'm getting it.
So hold on. So you're a complicated man with layers. One minute you're talking about standing there with your flannel and your beer and your chewing tobacco and your axe and making your own firewood like a real goddamn American. And in the next sentence, you're on your golf simulator in your podcasting studio chasing the pow. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which one are you, Michael Chiesa?
I'm a jack of all trades, Mike Bisping. Sometimes I'm chasing pow. Sometimes I'm hitting golf balls. Sometimes I'm chopping wood. You know, I'm a man.
You sound like a very interesting man. All jokes aside. No, good for you, man. Good for you. Good for you. No, so we're always messing around here. We're only joking. I should never have to explain that, but we don't know. I don't know if people are getting offended or people actually think I have a problem with you playing fucking golf. All right. So thank you again to Michael Chiesa for jumping on. We appreciate
it. Thanks for having me, Mike. It's great.
No, good. We always end the show with a few questions. If you have one that you want to send in, please do so to bympod@gmail.com.
And if you're listening on Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure to subscribe. Leave us a 5-star rating, positive review. It really helps out on those platforms. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to subscribe to the channel and you hit that notification bell to find out whenever a new episode drops. And if you want to catch over 500 episodes you can't find anywhere else, head to gasdigital.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get a 7-day free trial and check out over 20 great shows on the network.
Wow, that was nice. It's fast.
He's
good at a few things in life, and that is one of them. So
memorizing sentences like a robot. Really? You can do that. Delivering impressive. That sentence on time, not so much. And that's a long story. If you watch the working show, you know.
Okay.
Brian, what we got, bro?
All right. We got a couple of very brief questions here today. We have this first one from Connor Cartwright.
All right, it's Spring Connor Cartwright out here. I'm wondering, who do you think is going to be next to the weight division champion? Anyways, have a good one. Hooray!
What was that noise at the end? Hooey!
Hooray!
That was awesome.
That's what you call somebody from the north of England.
Okay. Fair enough. My friend's mom used to call me a Scouser. She'd be like, because I always wear Beatles shirts. She'd be like, oh, you're a Scouser. I said, yeah, sure.
Scousers don't wear Beatles shirts. And if they did, they'd be a right tit. But next double champ, who do you think Michael Chiesa has the ability to become the next double champ?
Man, for me, this is a bold one. I think it could be Sean O'Malley. I think if he can hold the bantamweight title for a while, he's got the frame. You have to look at, like, obviously we have Alex Pajeda, who's our newest double champ. But when I'm looking at the current state outside of him, I just think that he has the frame to go up a weight class if he wanted. And I think
he's not a double champ. He's a two-weight division champion.
Oh, yeah. So what do you mean double champ?
Means simultaneously holding the belts in two weight classes.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. I'll still go with Sean O'Malley. I think he's got the frame to go up to 145 pounds. If I think about a fight, in that time, I think Alex Volkanovski will have moved on. Let's say he fights with Topuria. I think he could beat a guy like Ilya Topuria. He's got the striking skills. So I look at O'Malley with his frame being a guy that could go up to 145 pounds to have success.
I mean, you make a lot of sense. And you use a lot of logic in your argument there, or your reasoning. Yeah. It's not a crazy shout. Obviously, got to get through Chito Vera first.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, 145.
Chito might be the kryptonite with the way he attacks the legs. You know, that's
it might be.
Styles make fights.
But you've actually got me excited to see a Volkanovski versus Sean O'Malley fight. Who would have loved to see that? And as you say, maybe a year down the line, if Volkanovski's gone to 155 or whatever, because he's not young, is he? No. Maybe it's Ilya Topuria.
Yeah.
I would love to see that as well.
Or so, even yeah, Max that's Holloway. Good. Maybe Max Holloway's in the mix too. You never know. Volkanovski steps back. You know, Max Holloway could be the guy to jump out front because he's beat everybody else and win the title again. So you never know.
I will say Islam Makhachev.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Islam Makhachev, he's already talking about, you know, going up to 170. I think he's got his hands full at 155, respectfully. You know, as we just said, Saruki and Oliveira and Gaethje.
Yeah.
I mean, there's three really tough fights. But stylistically, against Leon Edwards, he could give him problems.
Yeah.
If it was Colby, he could give him problems, you know? So I think Islam just being as good as he is. It's nothing to do with the matchups either side.
Yeah.
It's just as good as he is.
I'm going to actually retract what I said and agree with you on that one. I don't know why that one didn't jump out front to me. But yeah, I mean, especially because that's kind of been in the news lately. People have been, you know, Islam kind of put it out there. Colby kind of went with it saying, when I beat Leon Edwards, I'm fighting Islam next. I don't think it would be at 155. I think it would be Islam coming up. I retract my Sean O'Malley statement. I'm going to agree with you on this one, Mike. Definitely Islam Makhachev for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, great, great. Good. Thank you. What else we got, Bri?
All right, next question.
I hope this question is as good as the last one because that guy was great.
Well, this one is missing a little bit of context in the beginning for you.
Okay.
But we forgot Jordan's name last time. By we, I mean me. So this one is from Jordan.
BYM Podcast. I've been there a bunch of times, right? Bunch of times. And you guys forgot me. That is really not good. I'm sad. Anyway, Harrington, you can forget me as much as you want. I will love you forever. My question today, right, is what's the most craziest thing that you have done or anyone you know has done which landed them in custody or jail? You know, I got a bit of a situation, you know, that's a funny situation. I might DM Harrington because I DM him all the time, you know. But the love is obviously one-sided, which is, you know. Anyway, Bisping, you're a legend. Everyone loves you. Everyone respects you for all you've achieved. You're a god. I love you. Everyone loves you. You know what I mean? If I could have one conversation with you, Bisping, or play Xbox with you or something, my life would be, I would be complete. I would be so happy in myself. No more depression. I love you guys. Hamilton, I love you the most, though.
Bisping the guy.
Here's what I'm going to do for Rob. Yeah. I mean,
that was very nice.
Thank you. Yeah. That was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Brian, I'm going to record a video message.
I can't tell if that's a bit or not.
I know. Is he fucking about or what? I don't know. No one gets that fucking hard on ish about anyone. You know what I mean?
I've noticed people kind of fuck with you on the show a little bit. I've seen the clips of like, they write out the name.
I was about to fucking send him a personalized video message.
Don't let me influence your decision.
It seemed genuine to me. He's made a fool out of me now. What was the question? Craziest thing? I don't
know. You or a friend you know has done to get them thrown
in
jail.
I mean, we've heard a lot of stories at my age, 44. I mean, I could go on all day. I could blow your minds. I don't know why I thought of this. It's not the craziest, but it's worth a mention.
Yeah.
A guy in my hometown, Piggy, that's his name. I wasn't going to name him. He got out of prison and this cop lived in this house.
Yeah.
And he was by the pub. And he had a few beers.
Yeah.
And he took a piss through his letterbox.
Oh, no.
And the cop grabbed his dick through the letterbox. Apparently, so the story goes. And he was like trying to get away and the guy had hold of his fucking dick. That's not the craziest story you've ever heard, but that's the only one I'm going to give you because there's lots of other ones. Real quick, Michael Chiesa, because it's that time of the day where we finish the show, where I got to go, got to take a pee, get on one knee with the Michael Chiesa.
Got bars. Nice bars, Mike. Bars.
I've got a flea.
Bars is slang for rapping, in case you didn't know. So you got mad bars, dude.
Mad bars. You got a mad story for the mad bars?
So for me, the craziest story, I don't remember what got him in jail, but I'm sure you remember Drew Fickett. And after my second amateur fight, Dennis Hallman called me and was like, you need to go pick Drew Fickett up from jail. And I'm like a diehard fight fan. So I'm meeting Dennis Hallman, Drew Fickett, these guys. And I'm like, anything Dennis Hallman tells me to do, I'm going to do it. He's like a Washington legend. And when I got to the jail to pick Drew Fickett up, he was so drunk and he had been in jail for like 24 hours. He was still pissed. Falling out of the police station, like pinballing off the walls, making his way to the car. And it was just a wild car ride, and I'm not trying to put Drew Fickett on blast, but he's publicly came out and talked about his drinking issues. Otherwise I would not be, putting this out there, but it was quite the experience being like a big fight fan, like, oh, I'm going to go pick up Drew Fickett from jail. And I got this crazy experience. It was I'll never forget.
Being very highly intoxicated because typically the police, they lock you up. Until you sober up.
Yeah.
And you would expect 24 hours later, the man's definitely sober. He will have needed his water boy that day. Water boy being the anti-hangover liquid medication. But that's the show, everybody.
Yeah.
Michael Chiesa, an absolute pleasure, sir.
Thank you for the opportunity, Mike. Yeah, I enjoy whether it's here or after a show, I always get a chance to sit and chop it up with you, man. I really appreciate you.
We had a good time in, was it Paris?
It was Paris.
We had a good time in Paris. It's always good to see you on the road. We always have a good laugh. I love your energy. And thanks again for taking the time today. We really appreciate it. The believers appreciate it. And ladies and gentlemen, that is our show. We'll see you again on Thursday.